Motherhood is tough these days. It can feel even harder when you're doing it alone. Whether you are just beginning your journey of motherhood or pumping into the wee hours of the night, we are here for you to be a breastie. Join us as we share all things breastfeeding, the mom life, and the joys in between. Welcome to Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. This month, we have a very special feature. We are going to be featuring Haygen Dads because in the month of June, we celebrate Father's Day. And so today on the show, I have with me three Haygen Dads from diverse backgrounds with different age ranges for their kids. So we have Leon, who is COO of Haygen. You formerly see him as the man behind Yvonne. Today we're going to know a little bit more about him, all right? And we also have Benjamin Chong, who's also a project manager at Haygen. Very interesting guy. Later you'll hear from him. And of course, Aaron Young, our senior UX and product designer. So lots of quirky ideas, fun guy that you'll get to meet in a few moments. So I'm just going to maybe quickly introduce Ben. Ben is here beside me. Ben, so maybe you can just say hi to all our listeners and maybe tell us a little bit more, how old are your kids and you know how many kids you have and perhaps maybe one annoying habit that you discovered about them so we can just maybe get to know your kids a little bit more.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Chong. I'm a father of two kids. Now my kids are in primary school, and one of the, I would say, what's the irritating habits, but I think it's a problem that all parents today we all face, is that they have too much screen time, and it's like trying to take away the screen from them sometimes really a challenge. I think this one probably we'll talk about it more later, how we do that. Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks, Ben. So we have Leon. Maybe Leon, you can share some interesting habits of your children.
Hello, everyone. This is Leon. Very happy to be here today. Share with you a little bit about my fatherhood journey. So I have four beautiful children. They are 17, 15, 13, and 11. So as you can imagine, three of them are already teenagers. I'm living in a household of teenagers right now, and it can be a real challenge trying to deal with them, trying to understand, trying to be a friend as well as a parent at the same time. Yeah, so still learning.
Wow, interesting. Four kids. All right, Aaron, maybe you can let us know, how many kids do you have?
Hi, I'm Aaron. So I have three kids. Eldest is a girl. She's 8 years old. She's sometimes a princess, sometimes is the mother of the house, mothering the two younger brothers. So the second one is 5-year-old boy. Her name is Seth. He's a part-time superhero. So 3 years old is Caleb. We call him Lap Lap because in Cantonese, Ya Lap means like one little blob or something like that. Yeah, he looks like a blob. Yeah, so he is a full-time dictator. Yeah.
Sounds like a handful that you have there. So maybe let's just quickly start off by, you know, hearing from the three of you, very different walks of life, as well as different ages also. What does fatherhood actually mean to you? You know, some of you have been fathers for 10 over years, some maybe just slightly under, but I'm sure fatherhood means very differently. So what does fatherhood mean to you? Anybody?
So fatherhood to me, that term has evolved over the years. When it first started, it was more like, oh, you know, I'm here to protect, I'm here to love, I'm here to provide for my children, for my family. But as it evolves and as the kids get older and older and bigger, it becomes more like I'm here to accompany them, I'm here to walk this journey with them. These days, really, the guidance is very minimal. You know, I'm sort of just there to make sure nothing terribly goes wrong. They don't get in too much trouble, but they will get in trouble. And I've learned to accept that. They will destroy things as they go along. They will upset people as they go along. And, you know, we sort of just learn to live with that. So that term has really evolved for me over the years.
And I agree with Leon because, like, of course, at a young stage, it's a time that you really have to nurture them, discipline them. But as they get older, right, and they start to understand things, right, I think it's a different way of guidance, right? And probably I've not come to that stage of the journey yet. But when I do, I will probably share more and also learn some from Leon, like how to deal with teenagers, right? As it is, my daughter who's 9 years old now, you find that there's a lot of, whenever we were to tell something or give her certain advice, and there will be some, you know, rebuts from her kind of thing. You mean, you know, we just a one way, information is not just one way, it will come back to you also. So it's very true, it's very different stages of life and then different ways of guiding them. And yeah.
Interesting. So maybe just quickly here, Aaron, what do you think are some of the challenges that our modern father faces today, like compared to maybe, you know, 20, 30 years ago, our parents' time versus now as parents? What are some of these challenges that even yourself as a modern day father, you find to be something that you also grapple with on a day to day, you know, like parenting, being a husband, being present for your kids? What are some of these challenges?
I think Leon mentioned just now that fatherhood has evolved. Fatherhood to me when I was younger, it's really less communication with my father because he's always there working. It's not that he's the breadwinner, but father has always been the role where like they can work and come back late and I might not see them at night, right? But father today is a little bit different. And I feel a bit of pressure on my side because I couldn't model anyone but to really try it out myself, because both my wife and I are working and both of us are equally busy, and therefore with how we work right now is very different from my dad's generation, right? So there's a lot of responsibilities on my side to feel that I have to take more role than what I used to or think of what father should be or should spend the amount of time with their children. So to me, the challenges is more like, I don't know what I've done right or done wrong. It's really just go for it. Like, you know, spending more time with them today is what I feel that is I would prefer than the previous generation. And I feel that they are really, really close with me. And me sharing my problems with them is something that I really enjoy doing. Yeah.
But, you know, Aaron, it's interesting you mentioned that point because my kids seem to have answers to everything. So when I share that with them, I had a long day, I had a hard day, and they say, oh, exactly, what happened, Daddy? So I would, you know, maybe pick one or two incidents during the day that I went through. Say, well, you know what? You should have done it this way and that way. And, you know, you should have listened to so-and-so instead. They seem to have answers for everything. I don't know if it's because of the internet right now or social media that seems to be telling them everything, but they seem to know the answer even before we do.
Right? And I like it. It's really both ways. It's not really a top-down kind of one-directional.
Right.
Yeah.
I think because, you know, sometimes they see things from a very simple point of view. For us, right, we tend to think too much. Like, let's say, Estelle will ask me a simple question like, hey, Ben, would you be free for lunch? And I think, I would think that, hey, are you asking me, you would think too much kind of thing, right? For example, but kids will ask for lunch. Go for lunch, I'm hungry. I'm just going to grab a meal now. What the heck? So maybe, I may be right, I may be wrong, but maybe your kids also, they're just giving a very simple answer from a, you know, untainted perspective. That's what I can think of, you know.
Well, certainly they have opinions for everything. So the other day, I remember a family disagreement because the eldest wanted Mexican food and the second wanted Japanese. The third wanted just home-cooked mee goreng, you know, and they just couldn't get along. They couldn't agree. They couldn't decide. Everybody wanted their way. And so I decided to order everything in.
Wow.
So made everybody happy for sure.
Awesome.
So that's how you navigated through the different opinions. So, but what happens when, say, for example, it's not just about food, but it's something that's a lot more fundamental, say values, right? Like you rightly put it that now all our kids are being exposed, more exposed than ever before, to materials out there that may even shape their mindset and their views towards the world, right? But what happens when, you know, as a parent, as a dad, you know this of your child, and how do you maybe personally navigate through these differences, knowing that you have your own values, your own way in which you foresee to shape them? How do you, you know, maybe do you talk to them? How do you actually, you know, if you could share more with us, navigate through these differences? Because you want to respect them as an individual, and yet you don't want to be forcing your views down on them. But at the same time, there is also that obligation to parent and to parent right?
Personally, most of the educating, the teaching parts, I felt were probably done before the ages of 10. From then, 11, 12, 13, all the way till my eldest was 17 right now, there's already a preconceived notion of what is right, what is wrong. And we'd like to believe as parents that we have given them enough to decide what is right or wrong. We cannot make those decisions for them, but we have at least taught them that, you know, certain things you can do, certain things you should never try. Again, cross our fingers and hope that we've done a good job along the way, right?
Right.
So I think that's pretty much been what I've experienced so far.
So for me, the same thing. I mean, they should ask, you know, it's not like last night, that, hey, don't do this, boy. You know, if they ask you, hey, Dad, what's the guy doing there? I got smoke coming out of his mouth. And they say, oh, the guy is having a cigarette, right? As parents, we can always, like, you know, tell them, you shouldn't smoke. It's not good for your health, right? Then you ask, why is it not good? Then you explain it. So I think we have to tell them that, you know, choices at the end of the day, when they grow up, you know, if you so decide to smoke, we can't stop them. For example, I mean, right. But we can just tell them the ills of it, you know, and guide them, and show them and lead them. Because as they ask, right, as they inquire, right, we share them with them, the full spectrum of things. But I think at the end of the day, it's very much up to them. Yeah, we can't force them these days. I mean, kids are very well-informed kids. They really have a mind of their own. Yeah, very different from the yesteryears kind of thing.
So, you know, Ben, did you think that, you know, where you are at right now in your fatherhood journey versus maybe before, you know, before becoming a parent, do you think that you would be at where you are today, saying what you just said and parenting the way you're parenting right now?
No, definitely no. I think last time when I had the preconceived notion that I run things like a bit like what, you know, the yesteryears, like the, you know, in, I would call it the times where there's no human rights kind of thing. Right? It was not even say parenting, it was just instructing. It's like, boy, no smoke, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like how our parents do that. Hey, boy, what are you doing? You know, that kind of very top-down management kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right, but now it's more like a way consultative. Oh, okay, so you're asking this question. Okay, so interested in this, what you just asked me, okay, whether is it you see someone smoking or you watch news and say, hey, how come they, you know, they're arresting someone for taking drugs and all that? Kids were allowed to ask these days, hey, daddy, why are they talking about this? You know, that the police just arrested some people for taking drugs. What's this drugs? I also take medicine. But say, then you'd explain, this medicine is for your cough, for your running nose, for your backflow, and so on and so forth. Those are recreational medicine. Those you shouldn't be even entertaining. Things like that, you ask, because when you watch news, kids these days, they're very well-informed, right? They're very inquisitive. So I think my kids have not reached the stage where Leon's kids are. So they're at the stage where they're still teachable, still pliable, right? And that's the time that we actually put in our values and all that. We share them, that, you know, good values. But at the end of the day, it's their life when they grow up. And we can try to nudge them back, but there's no way we can ban them or break them. It's no longer the old times. And I think time and time has proven that when we try to, you know, even when you look at some of our older uncles at home, you know, when your grandparents try to break and bend them in certain ways, they do buckle and it does affect their life. I think that we have to share the values of our children, nudge them, guide them. There's no way we can really like force it on their children, I think.
So would you say that in that light, you have become more open in your communication with them, in your thinking, in the way that you approach certain things?
Indeed, yes, that's one. And also the other thing very important is like, I think I would spend, the other thing that I think probably parents of yesteryears probably lack is spending quality time with children. So to be here, be there with them, when you're with them, I think there's a time where I already put down my devices and really spend time with them, because I know time with them is very short, especially for me that I'm usually working outside, right? So when I'm home, in the evenings or, you know, weekends, I'll spend quality time with them. There's a segment when they're awake, I'll spend time with them. When they're sleeping, that's why sometimes probably you'll find my illness coming to you like after 10:30 kind of thing. That's the time I go back to work again. Right? So when I go back from 7 I have dinner, 7 to 10 o'clock, tuck them to bed. You know, I spend time with them, quality time with them, because that's the time I wake. No point I go and work at that time and then probably tuck them to bed and then after that, continue working kind of thing, no? So I think it is important, it's vital for parents, because it's like, just like every relationship, you need to spend time with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to nurture them. By, because when you don't have time, then after some time, and we always joke as guys, right, you don't want your children one day coming home and calling you uncle. Hey, uncle, 怎么你在我家? You know, you don't want to become, you want to be their dad. So in order to even nurture them, or even for them to seek your counsel, right, you need to have that kinship and relationship in the first place, first and foremost. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that keyword there, kinship. And so for our non-Mandarin listeners, what Ben just mentioned was, Uncle, what are you doing at home, right?
Yeah.
How about you, Aaron? Like, was your experience of, fatherhood now, does it very much differ from what you thought you would be as a father?
Okay, my aspiration of a father is like what we have been talking just now also. Be very relatable, share and talk a lot and spend a lot of time with them. And that's what we really want to do. But sometimes at this stage where I'm being that father, like I said just now, trying to find that voice of a father and trying to be different from the previous generation, sometimes inevitably I can't control. Especially when your child is young and you know that they do something that it will be very inconvenient for you. Like they will climb on the sofa and on the table and you just don't want them to break a neck. Yeah. And naturally, or rather, a habit of mine, right? Because I grew up in the very instruction, like what Ben said just now, top-down instruction. They're just like, hey, get out from now. You know, if not, you're like blah, blah, blah. All those kind of like horror stories. But then at the back of my mind, like, hey, you shouldn't scare or scream that way. You know, they will model after you. And true enough, like I said just now, the part-time mother in the house, which is my eldest daughter, pick it up from me and start instructing the younger brothers, like how I did that. When I hear that, I'm like, oh no, what have I done? You know?
Yeah.
But then I would pull her aside and talk to her. You shouldn't talk to your brothers like that. And I feel like a hypocrite, you know, by saying that to her. So that's one of the challenges and aspirations and what's the reality of what I want to be as father. I'm still learning. And I think one of the things that I try to do more often is to tell my kids, even the five-year-old ones, that what I'm really struggling right now, not only at work, but really be a father and how to be better. Yeah.
For me, the big change came was when my first became a teenager, right? So prior to that, he always listened to me. He always took my instructions, you know, and I didn't have to really explain. If I say that, you know, this is the right way to go, he would just follow it anyway. But then the why started coming, right? And he became a teenager. Why? How is that so? I don't believe so. No, I think this is the better way, you know. Initially, we got into a lot of arguments. Really, really a lot of arguments because he couldn't see my point. I mean, I couldn't see his point, but he couldn't see my point. He couldn't explain to me why he couldn't see it, you know. And therefore, he got angry. He got upset, you know, and he started raising his voice. And when he raised his voice, I raised my voice even louder, right? I mean, I've got 40 years ahead of you to train that voice, right? So so it became a shouting incident and it wasn't very pleasant at all. Then after a while, and after speaking to some friends who already had teenage children, the idea is just to let them do it. You know, they said, look, I believe that we should do it this way. However, I respect your views. Let's try it. And when they try it, they would understand why they shouldn't be doing that. So let them fall, let them fail, let them understand in their own time. But be them to catch them, you know, if they fall too quickly or too seriously. Yeah. Yeah. That's the only thing we can do. So I think that's one of the challenges that I remember very clearly. Yeah.
I think it's really hard though in this day and age to be able to parent with such a trust and a certain level of confidence that no matter how hard they fall, they would still come back to you and that they would still default to the values that they've been used to, that's been imparted to them. And just maybe for interest sake, you know, maybe because it's been a few years for the three of you, many of our listeners are also young dads, like young dads as in like babies, kids that are babies, you know, or maybe generally under 3 years old. So if I could just maybe get you guys to rewind a bit and to recall the early days of your kids, what was perhaps one habit or routine or a good tip that you felt you had learned through that lesson that you would like to share with our young dads out there? So maybe just to give a little bit more context, you know, a lot of our moms, when they write in to us on our discussion board, they're always feeling lonely because they are pumping in the middle of the night and their husbands are asleep, you know, and they're like, gosh, sometimes I just wish my husband could help me to pump, you know. So the moms have a set of challenges, but that's not to say that fathers don't have challenges as well. Most of the time, it's like what Ben said, right? You are working, and by the time you come home, there are just so many things that are running through your mind. You want to spend quality time. You also have your work to think about. So as a young dad, there's so many things that you want to do, and then you also want to support your wife. So how did you guys overcome that? And this is really to help all our young fathers out there who are maybe not yet there on this journey. And I think your insights would really help to maybe just give them some new inspiration. Yeah, so maybe Leon, since you have four kids.
Okay, so I remember when Yvonne was very busy breast pumping every night. It was a nightly routine. So whenever she felt that she had some form of an engorgement, I would be there to try and relieve that. Yeah. And of course, after pumping, I would be taking care of the milk, storing it, closing it, making sure it's put in the freezer at the right time. When my son or daughter wakes up, I'll be the one to warm it up and feed my child. So at least we split up that workload a little bit. So you could do that. I mean, I understand as well that not all fathers would be able to do that. Maybe you could do that the first month, the second month. But after 6 months, 12 months, that's almost impossible to do. But again, it's about the effort, right? Just showing that you are there, you're trying your best. And on the off nights where you completely sleep through and forgot all about it, don't worry, you know, the wife is there to pick up the slack. She understands. Just don't make sure it doesn't happen too often, right? In a way, I have a very understanding wife.
For me, I would say that, basically, like Leon, okay, just pick up some of the duties, but really try to be supportive, right? Because your wife is really, really tired getting out of pump. So, like for me, okay, I speak for me. Myself, I pick up most of the operational parts, that's why I'm the operations, right? So, what I'll do is I'll do the cleaning, steaming. I'll maintain the steamer. I'll maintain the bottles, right? Before Hagen, we used to use a very complicated bottle, but I don't mention the brand, right? It's like, it's almost like if you fail to put back one part right, it will leak. Okay, so diaper changing, cleaning the diaper bay, doing the laundry. And I felt that spend as much time as you can with the child. And I think at the point in time also with your wife, both of them need the support. Because one of the concerns is that you don't want your wife to go into depression, especially at early stage, right? You really want to, because all things are changing for them in terms of lifestyle, in terms of hormones and everything. You really have to be there, as the husband. And especially sometimes, like for me, my first daughter was crazy, like because she had this very sensitive flag. Okay, this is a common thing for little girls. When the voice box is not fully formed, right, it's like two flaps. So every time when she drinks milk, right, she will, if it tickles her throat, she'll start to regurgitate. And basically she regurgitates anywhere on the beds. She has blessed everything in the house, so the beds, the stroller, the sofas that we had to change the sofa. Yeah, no joke, serious. So we brought a specialist, and then we understand the situation, and there's nothing you can do about it. But just to stand by would be nearby kind of thing. So there are times when she really throws and messes the whole bed, and my wife really goes like berserk one because she's pumping, and then after a while, you know, she doesn't throw up immediately. So I mean, as the husband, right, I think just be there to support that partner. To support that partner, you know.
Aaron has a reaction. I see some identification there.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I think my advice for the expecting fathers or even new fathers out there is just having open mindset, or rather a growth mindset, rather than have a fixed one. Like, I remember when I was expecting my first child, I was thinking, how am I going to wake up early in the morning or even in the middle of the night? I just enjoy sleeping until 9 o'clock and I would sleep 6 to 8 hours without interruption. I just can't imagine doing that. But when the first came out, I think it's the excitement also. So I found that as a little superpower I never used before. I never felt tired in the middle of the night as I tried to support my wife, and also being very enthusiastic also, because when I'm into something, I will be very obsessed into the products, let's say. Like if I were to buy a nice computer mouse or buy a keyboard or a display, I use that kind of enthusiasm when I shop for like breast pumps. When I shop for manual breast pump, I even try it on myself. If it pulls well, I feel it, that's the one, you know, kind of stuff. As a product designer, I think I'm just obsessed with this kind of stuff to the point where my wife don't know how to use the breast pump and I have to tell her how to use it. So when you show that kind of enthusiasm to your wife, she will feel like, hey, there's somebody there, probably another midwife. She just married a midwife or something like that, right? Like, so that kind of support, I think that it makes it easier for her.
Definitely.
I feel. Yeah. And for me, it's just that suddenly because of the excitement, like I say, I don't mind washing the crevices of the tubes and all the part of the breast pumps, the bottles, you know, like how to use the bottle warmer, even how to thaw, how long do I thaw it? When I go to work, my wife has to call me, how long do I thaw it from? What happened if I take it from the freezer and all those? Like, I just really being part of this is really so exciting and yeah, very happy that I can be that support. Yeah, I feel that kind of growth mindset of having that, hey, I cannot do this because I'm a man. A man don't do this kind of stuff. I think it doesn't apply anymore. Welcome to 2021, not 2008. Yeah. Yeah.
2008 still sounds very close to me.
You know, there's this lyrics, right? You are 2000 and late, and I'm...
Incidentally, I want to share something. A lot of people don't know this. I'm not sure if you realize this, but both Aaron and Ben were probably one of the first few users of Hagen. So they were part of our Hagen user group back in 2015.
Mm. Yeah. I heard.
So they have used Hagen for many, many years. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That saved me a lot of maintenance issues, you know. Ever since I had Hagen, imagine the amount of parts I had to, you know, because I'm very particular, I make sure that the steam gets to every part of the part, the components, right? So they lay them out nicely in the steamer and then turn it on, that kind of thing. But with Hagen, it's just a few parts only. That's the beauty about Hagen.
Yeah. I'm so encouraged to see how the product grow right now, like how it changed based on our feedback during the test. I think Hagen learned so much from there.
Correct. Even the material itself, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of what the three of you have shared is how involved you guys are in not just parenting, but also in the entire journey of supporting your wife, you know, for right up to the point whereby your wife is asking you how to use the warmer. I think that is really pretty amazing. And also, fun fact for those of you who have not heard this story before, it is true. Leon's, you know, night wakings and having to prepare milk and to, you know, store the milk, that Hagen was also born, you know, because of all these pain points that, you know, you've experienced with Yvonne, with the other milk bottles that sort of given this inspiration for what we love and enjoy now at Hagen. And you know, what Ben and Aaron has sort of also highlighted has become a feature and a big, big part of their fatherhood journey. And so maybe as we start wrapping, would you be able to share with us what is the one thing that you have done? It could be for yourself or for your kids or for your wife that helps you to be the best father you can be for them.
Well, I think spending time with them, that's the key thing. Because at the end of the day, kids, all they want is they just want you to be there with them. And in the start, like, you know, like every zealous father who I think of great plans, I'm bringing East Coast, I'm bringing them here, bring them. Sometimes, even at East Coast, I want to bring them cycling, then experience something like to ride a bike, how to run, slide down the playground. Sometimes they just want to sit there and play sand and just be there to play sand with them. That's all they want. They just want your time. They want you to sit there and play whatever, whether it's a beach or even in a playroom at home. All they want is just you sitting there playing there, better dollhouse, or even just playing a few empty mineral water bottles. That's good enough. Serious.
But for me, I think being relatable to them and also the journey of learning together with them. Mm. Like, for example, my son, my five-year-old son, Seth, he listened to some songs on the radio. And you know what kind of songs always plays on the radio, like BTS and some even Korean songs. So then I pick it up and we all learn a bit of Korean words from there and we start to learn how to dance and sing with them. Yeah, so these are the things that I feel that, you know, probably he will remember as we grow old. Like, we record ourselves, try to TikTok it together. And yeah, it's quite funny. And also learning the instruments that they are learning. Like, we throw him to a drum class and I don't know how to read the notes in a drum. So we just learn together so that he can practice too. Even with my daughter playing a piano, for somebody who don't know how to read the notes. Yeah, so we now know, at least we are like grade one and grade two level now. Yeah, I think learn together, I think, is something that the best that I feel that the least I can do, or rather as a team together with the kids. Yeah.
I did that too, man. I used to try to learn piano with my GH. And I would say, hey, daddy, come let me teach you. Yeah. Just sit beside and learn.
Yeah, so now I told him that, you know what, you give me an iPad, switch on the Simply Piano app, and then, yeah, now I can play.
For me, I've always been passionate about rugby. So I have three boys. Out of the four, three of them are boys. So obviously, I wanted them to learn rugby and to play rugby. But one of the things I had to do and I wanted to do for them as well, because the rules has changed so much, the game has changed so much, you know, since the early 90s when I was playing it, right, that I had to relearn it all over again. And so therefore, I signed up for a coaching course so that I could be one of their coaches. I signed up for a referee course so I could reference some of their games just to continue to stay relevant with them. Mm. So these are things which I thought helped me spend more time with them. As what Ben said, quality time is ultimately. But I also have something called Dada jokes.
Yes.
Which is something I always pull out. When the situation gets too tense, you always whip out a Dada joke.
Yep. And the jester of the family, eh?
Yes. And that always seems to calm things down. Would you guys like to hear one?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe all of you should share one of your Dada jokes. Then we can add to the Dada joke bang.
Only because you insist. Okay, so I like to ask my kids this. Children, do you know what niggot is? This has got nothing to do with race, by the way. Do you know what's a niggot?
Niggot?
Yes. Have you heard of niggot? Really? No. You've never heard of niggot?
No.
Okay. Well, you want me to spell it for you? Okay. So it's N-I-G-G-T. G-H-T. Yeah. So, and again, I asked them, do you know what a niggot is? They said, no, I have no idea. Okay, one more time. N-I-G-G-T. G-H-T. Right?
G-H-T. Oh.
Nice.
Exactly. When it finally hits them, you know, that's where whatever, however they're upset with one another, no longer matters. Because now they're all upset with Dada.
That's a good one. All right, anyone still has Dada jokes to add to the mix?
No, I don't have any, but I just copied this from one of those Avenger movies kind of thing. So they like to ask me questions and sometimes you don't want to share with them, especially something adult. Then they'll say, what's that out there? Oh, Narnia. Narnia means none of their business kind of thing.
It means that don't ask. Don't ask too much. Don't ask too much. Can't answer you then.
Oh, sorry. It's not from Avengers. It's from Moana.
Narnia's not from Moana.
No, listen, you know the part that you see, you watch one movie, you can watch it up 10 times, right?
Uh-huh.
I remember this part when, you know, there's this part that Moana asked Maui a question. He didn't want to say this. He said Narnia.
Okay.
Man's discovery of Narnia means none of your business. Yes, now I remember that. You see how many times I watched Narnia Moana that. Narnia also. Narnia, every show, like I'm just rewatching again Pokemon X and Y again.
X and Y.
Again. So I can almost direct most of the Pixar movies already.
All for love. All for the love of your children. All right. So before we go, just a very fun part that we want to do just to understand a little bit of how well does Leon understand Yvonne? Okay. So again, for those of you who have not heard, Yvonne and Leon are a married couple and they have four children together. So before this show, we thought it might be interesting to ask Yvonne what she thinks of Leon as a father. But before we share that, maybe Leon, can you just guess in your best attempt, what do you think Yvonne thinks of you as a father? Or how would she describe you as a father?
So as a disclaimer, I'd just like to say that the reason I love my wife so much is because she's unpredictable. So it's even if I do get that wrong, well, it's because I love you so much. That's why I get that wrong. Okay, so how do I think Yvonne describes me as a father? Well, I think she generally sees me as a provider, someone that, you know, will always ensure that our family needs are fully met, that there's enough food on the table, there's enough clothes to wear, you know, everything. Your day-to-day necessities are always well taken care of. And above and on top that, I think that she also sees me as this giant pillow where, you know, anytime anybody needs to rest their shoulders on, I'm here. And also that I'm extremely warm to hug. So whenever any of them gets cold, I'm always the first one they think of.
Aww.
That's what I would think.
Well, I think you are quite on point. So speaking about being huggable and giving bear hugs, so this was something interesting or funny that Yvonne shared. So she said, every night, even up to now, our children would ask us to put them to bed. No matter how tired or mentally exhausted Leon is, he would try. But he would always put himself to bed first. He would end up snoring and none of us can sleep. So even then, the kids love having him put them to bed. Or in this case, snore. So not bad, some alignment there. But, you know, even on the point of, you know, being a provider, it's interesting because Yvonne shares that you may seem to appear stricter, fiercer, and the more heavy-weighted parent in the equation. But actually, knowing you, she feels that you're the total opposite. You are that agile dad, that, you know, rugby dad that could run and score against the under 13 kids and make them the proud gamer that can kick all the other kids' ass. You would drive them out to catch Pokemon and do whatever it takes to win, even though she said she has no clue what you guys are doing. That for me is the best part because I identify, sometimes I don't know what my husband is doing. And you will also be the doting dad who would spoil them on weekly countless choices of Saturday brunch. Wow. By going to the market as early as 6 a.m. to avoid the crowds and the queue. So he is like the big brother that has always got your back. How sweet is that?
That's really sweet, really sweet. Yes.
So how do you feel hearing that?
I don't think I could have described that better. I think Yvonne got that spot on and really, really touched to hear how she described it. Really, that was beautiful. Thank you, darling.
Aww.
Best dad ever.
Best dad ever. We wish we could have gotten Aaron and Ben's wife. I think they will also share very interesting nuggets of, you know, insights to their parenting journey. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to do so. But I just wanted to say a big thank you to the three of you for being here on today's episode. Because really what we loved about the three of you is how involved you guys are, as well as how invested you guys are in this journey. Because fatherhood is so integral in today's society as we know it, because so many of us have experienced what it was like to be parented a different way. And then now as parents, we have this desire, this vision to reparent and to recreate the world for our children in the way that we see it, you know, as challenging or as, you know, tough as it might be. I think what we hear and see in the three of you is your commitment to make things work, even when it is difficult. And so to all the fathers out there, whether you are a Hagen dad, whether you are a grandfather, or even just a husband that is just looking to support your wife even more in this season, we just want to celebrate you today as you are listening. Thank you so much to all our fathers for being such a big pillar of support for all our mummies out there. We can only wish that you would continue to create even more beautiful memories with your family. And as always, at Hagen, we are here for you, for your wife, and for your family. And so if you like today's episode, continue to subscribe and share this episode with your friends, with someone you know that might really need this. And again, please feel free to share any questions you might have in our discussion board. And we will be more than happy to, you know, keep this conversation going. And before we go, just on behalf of the entire Hagen team, Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. So we will see you on our next episode, where we will be inviting an expert in hypnobirthing, Isabel from Mother and Child. So till then, stay safe and take care.